We're on Yeshaya Perek Nun. The question people grapple with over the centuries are the fact that we're in Golus for so long. It seems like there's no end in sight. And the Navi addresses this issue. Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. This is not just the words of Yeshaya, the words of the Tzaddik and the Gadol Hador, but this is the direct message of Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. The fact that we've been in Golus for so long is not a permanent end to Klal Yisrael, but there will be a Geula. Because Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem. What is the Sefer Krisus? What's the get Imchem of your mother? Klal Yisrael as a nation is the mother, like we would say, the mother country, the motherland. The mother is the people as a unit, as a whole. And we, as part of the people, every individual, are those that come from the mother, the nations produced us. But the aim is Knesias Yisrael, the multitude as a whole is called the mother. And Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem. What exactly is this Sefer Krisus? What's the get that your mother, that Klal Yisrael received? Asher Shilachtiya. That causes you to think that I've sent her away and it's a final divorce. As Mitzudas explains, a person can give a get al Tanai on a condition. Let's take a look in the get and see what the reason was that Klal Yisrael sent us away. O Mimi Noshai, and viewing us as the children, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, occasionally somebody would give away, sell away his children. In olden times, if a person owed too much money, the creditors came knocking on the door, and they would we had in Malachim, V'hanoshe bo l'kachas ha-shnei yelodai, the Haftorah of Parshas Vayera, that the Noshe came, the creditor came to take my children as slaves. If you can't pay up the money, he would take the children. But Hashem says, O Mimi Noshai, who do I owe money to? Do you think I owe money to this nation or that nation, these goyim? Why should I have sold my children into slavery? O Mimi Noshai Asher Macharti Eschem Loi, that I've sold you to this creditor. There are no creditors. Hashem doesn't owe anybody money. So why exactly were we sent away? It was simply, Hein ba'avono seichem nimkartem. You were sold because of your avonos, because of your sins. Uvefi sheichem. And because of your rebellious sins, shulcha imchem, your mother, the nation of Klal Yisrael, was exiled. But if it was because of that, we can do tshuva and we'll come right back. Take a look, see why we were sent away. It wasn't that Hashem doesn't love us or care for us anymore. It wasn't working out. So He sent us away, but as soon as we repent and change our ways, we'll be brought back. The Mari Kora says this is like a message. It's been echoed by the missionaries over the centuries. As if Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, exchanged His chosen people, and He no longer wants Klal Yisrael. And the Mari Kora says that when Klal Yisrael is confronted by the nations of the world, Kishahoyu Akim Monim Osam, and the Klal Yisrael were teasing and taunting Klal Yisrael, and saying that Hashem has sold you and no longer wants the Jewish people. The response is, Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem. Where do you ever find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent a final get to Klal Yisrael? Throughout Tanakh we see constantly HaKadosh Baruch Hu reiterates that we're the chosen people and there will be no other. There is no Sefer Krisus. It's not like Hashem owes anybody that He had to sell us into slavery. It's simply because of our averus. What's interesting is, there is one place in Tanakh where it mentions the idea that Klal Yisrael was divorced by Hashem. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Gimel. It says, Lamor, Hein Yishalach Ishas Ishto, if a person sent away his wife, V'olchameito, and she left him, V'hoisali Shacher, and she married somebody else. Hayoshuvi Leho Od, could he ever take her back? So too, Klal Yisrael has left Hashem, been sent away, and they've served Avodah Zarah. It's final. There is a place in Yirmiyah that seems to say that there was a get. But the Radak explains that pasuk in Yirmiyah is referring to the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim, at their height of success, they had their king that the Novi said that they deserve a king. They had their own kingdom. And then they were exiled. They were exiled hundreds of years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. They were, when we still had the first Beis HaMikdash, they were exiled. So they were gone in exile hundreds of years before we finally left Eretz Yisrael for the last time. And once they went into Golus, they never get their king back. They'll never have their kingdom back. What will happen is when Mashiach comes, when the Geula comes, the Psukim say that David HaMelech will be the king, Va'avdi David Nosi Lahem. David will be the king over all of Klal Yisrael. Mashiach, who comes from David, Mashiach ben David, will be the king over everyone. So the Aseres HaShvatim lost their king, they lost their government forever. They'll come back and they'll be part, there'll be one Klal Yisrael under Mashiach ben David. So it could be the Sefer Krisus in Yirmiyah is referring to the final end of Malchus Yisrael, the kingdom of Israel, which will eventually be subsumed. It'll be part of the kingdom of Yehuda. But as far as we go, as far as Malchus Yehuda, those that did lose the Beis HaMikdash, but they came back for hundreds of years with a second Beis HaMikdash. Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem. Where is the Sefer Krisus, like Hashem would have finally divorced her, Asher Shilachtiya, that I sent away Klal Yisrael? The Malbim explains how every word in the Pasuk, he's medayik, he notices precisely how it fits in. The Malbim says a person who divorced his wife, it could be for two reasons. Either he's decided, that's it, he no longer wants her, he despises her, or because she did something toward him that he's upset and he can't tolerate her behavior anymore, that could be the other reason he divorced her. But there's a difference. If he sent her away because he was mo'aspa, he despised her, he doesn't want her anymore, so that is, she can assume that that's final. If, though, he really cares for her, just he can't tolerate her behavior, so if she changes her behavior, then he would take her back. So therefore, Hashem says, Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem, where is the Sefer Krisus of your mother, Asher Shilachtiya, that I sent her away? I didn't send her away because Hashem despises Klal Yisrael. The behavior couldn't be tolerated, so he sent her away, but it's more like a separation. The question is, where is there even a get? He separated till we repent and we change our ways. Somebody who sells his children, it could be, again, the marriage didn't work out, and he sent her away, and he doesn't want her children anymore. He wants to totally end that chapter of his life. Or it could be he really cares for his children, but he owes money. And if he owes money and he must have sold everything that he had available, and he still doesn't have money, and it came to the point where he sold his children, it's rare that a person should be able to make a comeback and accumulate enough money and get himself back on his feet to buy his children back. But this is neither. Oh, mimi no shai. Who from my creditors, Asher Machardi Eschem Lo? Hashem says, I'm not like a person who had to sell his children because he had no money. Okay, so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send us away, except not because he despises us, not because he doesn't, he owes money, so why exactly were we sent away? And on that, the Pasuk mentions two ideas. Sometimes an avon is a type of sin, the Malbim says that's mitzad haseichel. There's something wrong with a person's thoughts, with his mind, with his opinions, and that causes him, he's like a baal mum begufo. He has a blemish that he just is not rational, he doesn't think straight. Ve'eino maven bein tov l'ra. And the Malbim says it's like he doesn't understand the difference between good and bad. The person is, you'd say he's krum. It is something in Yiddish. He doesn't think straight and he has problems. That could be an avon. A pesha is a rebellious sin, that a person is illogical, well thought out, he knows what he's doing, and he's rebelling. So he says, in terms of a wife, it's reached a point where it's an avon, where she just doesn't think clearly, and she's considered like a baal mum, like she's blemished. She's handicapped, she's no longer the way he would have wanted his wife to be. She's changed. An avon like that, he would send her away, could be he wouldn't take her back. If it's a pesha, she's perfectly fine, just she's rebelled. If she decides not to rebel again, he would take her back. By a child, it would be the other way. If a child, for whatever reason, has an avon, there's something wrong with the way he's thinking. And he doesn't understand the difference, good and bad, and his thought processes are wrong. But the father would go and try to find doctors, get a psychologist, a psychiatrist, try to get him back on the track. It's his son, he's got to help him out. If the son, though, knows exactly what he's doing, and it's a pesha, and he's rebelling against his father, so if he's rebelling, the father is not interested in it anymore. That's not his responsibility. He does for his son, and his son rebelled. He's not interested in his son. But Hashem says, "Hein ba'avono seichem nim kartem." You who were sold, the children, you weren't sold because you were rebellious. And that's it. The father wrote him out of the will and wants to have nothing to do with him. It was an avon. The child is handicapped with his hashkafos, with his thoughts, with his beliefs. So the father would do something to help out his child. And your mother, the Klai Shul, as a nation, is compared to the one who was sent away because they were rebellious. But once they return and they stop the rebellion, the husband would take them back and Hashem will take us back. Hashem says, Madu Abasi, how come? Why do I come? Veinish, and there's nobody there. You've rebelled, you've sinned, but I want to bring you back. Madu Abasi, so I come to you, Veinish, and there's nobody to speak to. Karasi, and I call out, and I'm looking for you, I'm calling for you, Veinon, and there's no response. Why is it that Klal Yisrael isn't responding to the words of the Navi? HaKotzar Kotzra Yodi Mi Pedus. Is my hand short? Am I limited? Mi Pedus, to grant the redemption? Is it that I can't redeem you? If somebody's sold into slavery for the right price, if he's a captive, a hostage, he can be redeemed. And if they're not interested in money, and they won't get paid off, but v'imein b'koach l'hatzil, is there no strength in me to rescue? I can buy you back, and if they don't want money, I can take you by force. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take us out of Golus, no matter what it takes. So how come we're not responding to Hashem? Hein b'garosi achriv yom, with my rebuke, with my yell, my shout, achriv yom, I dry the sea. The Rishoyim are compared to a yom, like a sea that's being stirred up with a tempest, with a storm, a stormy sea. But I dry all that up. It's like the goyim that are keeping us in Golus, they'll all be destroyed. Osim naharos midbar. The rivers I make into a desert. Tivash degosam me'ein mayim. Their fish become smelly, putrid. Me'ein mayim, from a lack of water. Either they die and they smell, or perhaps they're on the verge of dying. There's not enough water to sustain them in a healthy manner. And then v'samos bat sama. And then they do die from thirst eventually. If the nations of the world are compared to the sea, to the river, so when the punishment comes, it's dried up, and all life there will die and will rot. There's nothing that's chaining us to the gullus. HaKadosh Baruch says, I'm calling out, and I'm ready to bring the geula. Al bi shamayim kadrus. This is the tremendous strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he dries the sea. And continuing this mushal, this example of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his strength. If it's a mushal referring to destroying the goyim, or in the simple meaning that Hashem controls nature in such unbelievable ways. But Hashem says, you know, I can dry up the oceans, and the rivers become like the desert. And it's not only because of the natural sunshine and the summer, the heat, but I'll be shamayim kadrus. It could be at a time that I clothe the heavens in blackness. You look at the sky and there are dark clouds. Visak osin kisusam. And the garment of the heavens is like sackcloth, which is a dark gray. And you look at the sky and it's all cloudy. It looks like it's going to rain. And yet, under those circumstances, I dry up the rivers and the oceans go dry. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when it comes to nature, I show my strength. And we've seen plenty of examples of that. Earthquakes and floods and droughts and wildfires and tsunamis. And it's constantly, we see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu does awesome acts with nature. As they say on the insurance disclaimers, you know, acts of God. It's clear that what happens, these things are clearly from Hashem. But Hashem says the geula is one thing I'm leaving up to you. There's an end date by which the geula will come no matter what. But right now the geula can come. This is I'm leaving up to you. So if I have such a power, I'm able to bring the geula. It's just up to you, Klal Yisrael, to do tshuva and to bring it about. The Gemara learns out in Brachos. On Daf Vav Amud Beis. A Gemara that makes it brings it more home to us, how we should be living nowadays. The Gemara gives an example. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "B'shoa shaHakadosh Baruch Hu ba b'Beis HaKnesses." At the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to a Beis HaKnesses, he comes to Shul. V'lomotzavu asara, and he doesn't find 10 people. He comes to Shul and there's no minion. Miyad hu koes, kaviyochol. It's as if immediately Hashem gets angry. Shenemar, because of our pasuk right now that we learned, pasuk Beis. Madua basi veinish. Hashem says, why did I come? Veinish, and nobody's there. Karasi, I called out. Vein onev, there's no one to answer. And Rashi says, what does it mean there's no one to answer? Shiur sheyuchlu lanos dover kedusha. It's as if I'm calling out, I'm waiting for the Kaddish, I'm waiting for the Baruch Hu. Vein onev. But we don't have the 10 people in order to give a response. So although the Pasuk Pshat and the Pasuk is in general to Klal Yisrael on a whole with their whole life, it's like Hashem is calling on us to do tshuva. The Gemara finds a hint that there's the times when Hashem comes to Shul when the minion's supposed to be, and there must be a minion there. Otherwise, it's like Hashem is calling out, vein onen, and there's no response. The Marsha says, the Gemara mentions earlier that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matsui B'Veis HaKnesses. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in the shul. The shul is a mukam kedusha. And when 10 people daven, the Shekhinah's there. In fact, the Gemara said earlier, when there's 10 people, Kadma Shekhinah Va'asya, the Shekhinah almost, it seems, comes first. And the Rashba asked the question. It says, when there's a minion, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes first. If there's 3 people sitting on a Din Torah, so after the 3 people sit down and they're judging the case, the Shekhinah comes. When you have 10 people, in honor of the 10 people, the minion, Hashem comes first. So the Rashba asks a question. So if Hashem always comes before the minion, of course he comes and there's no minion. By definition, he comes first. So the Rashba answers, he gives another answer also, but one answer the Rashba gives is, that Kadma Shekhinah Va'asya means the Shekhinah comes with the minion. There's a set time when the minion's supposed to come, the Shekhinah's there with them. Like Maher Yikadmunu Rachamecha. We say, your Rachmim, your mercy, should Yikadmunu, should be there as soon as we need it, like with us. It doesn't mean before us, it means with us. And therefore, Kadma Shekhinah Va'asya means you don't have to come into shul and sit down to have Hashem there. Hashem is there as you enter. As you enter, the Shekhinah comes with the minion. But there's a set time. There's a time when the minion should be coming, and it's like the Shekhinah comes then, and if he comes, and there's no minion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. Madua Bosi, why did I come vain ish? There's one ish, there's one person missing. He comes in and there's only 9. There's only 9 for the minion. That's what the Marsha says. You don't have that ish, the one person who will make the minion. Karasi. And therefore, when I call out for Ein Ona, there's no response. No one can answer Kaddish. No one can answer Baruch Hu. Adover Shebi Kedusha. We don't have that minion. And that's a chesaron, a lacking lo yuchal lihimonos, that we just can't count. We don't have the count for the minion. Madua Bosi Veinish. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why do I come and there's nobody there? By the way, Rabbi Akiva Eger on the Gemara in the Gilyan Hashas refers to that Rashba. And that's where the... So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Pasuk Dalet, Yirmiyah speaking, Hashem wants us to do tshuva, and as soon as we return, Hashem's calling for us. When we return, the geula will come. And you might wonder, I didn't hear Hashem calling me. I haven't heard the call. So Yirmiyah says, you know what? The Nevi'im, I'm speaking. I'm telling you what Hashem is saying. You hear me? Yeshaya, we're learning about Yeshaya, called out, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Nosan Li L'Shon Limudim. He gave me a tongue for teaching. Lodas, to know. Lo'us. Now most Meforshim learn Lo'us comes from the word ace. To have a time. To have set times. Lo'us es yo'ef. To the person who's weary. The person who's exhausted. He needs inspiration. He wants to get close to Hashem. And he's just worn down by the grind of his daily life. But he's searching, he's thirsty for the word of Hashem. Yeshaya says, Hashem gave me the Lashon Limudim. He gave me the tongue for teaching. Lodas, to know Lo'us es yo'ef, Dovar, to make times for the one who's weary and looking for Torah, and to make times to teach him the Dovar, the words of Torah. It could also be lo'us, to know lo'us, the times. That certain drushas are appropriate for sometimes. It depends on the situation. But Yeshaya knew how to address the times, whether the people needed a rebuke, whether they needed encouragement, whether they needed it expressed with a mushal, with a story. However they needed, whatever the times dictated, Hashem gave me that ability. Ladas lo'us es yo'ef dover. Yo'er baboker baboker. He arouses me morning after morning, every day, yo'er li'ozen. And he arouses my ear, lishmoa kalimudim, to understand kalimudim, like the students who are taught, like the disciples. HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveyed the knowledge to me in that manner. The Malbim says, in order to be a speaker to the nations and to convince the multitudes, you need a few different things. You have to be able to convey the greatest concepts and ideas to be a good speaker. Hashem Elokim Nasan Li Lashon Limudim. So Yeshaya says, I have that. I have that Lashon Limudim, the tongue for teaching. Lodas Lo Uses Yo'eif Dovar. The Malbim translates lo'us from the word, like lo'us comes from the word cheek. Somebody who speaks quickly and his cheeks are moving from his rapid talk, which is it's the chiddush, the way the Malbim translates this word. He has proofs, for instance, mokesh adam, a trap for a person, yola kodesh, is if he quickly talks and he makes things hektish without thinking what he's doing. He makes the netter, this will be hektish, that will be hektish, and he's not aware of what he's doing. That becomes a trap. Los, to speak quickly. And the word yo'ef can mean something that's exalted, something that's high and is above others. Kisoafos ra'im lo, like the glory, the height of grandeur. Lodas, Hashem gave me the ability to know lo'us, to talk quickly and smoothly, as yo'if dover, the most exalted and greatest concepts I'm able to express. And not just at set times, not just on rare occasions, but yo'ir baboker baboker. Hashem gave me this ability every day to constantly, I have the koach to constantly convey the message of Hashem. That's the second thing, that he's constantly able to discuss and teach. And the third thing that he needs is to be able to convey the lesson in a manner that everyone can understand. Yoyer li ozen, Hashem has opened my ear, aroused my ears, lishmoa kalimudim, that I can teach as the disciples, as the students would be able to understand. We see the importance of being koveya itim, of having set times for learning. That there's an ability that lo'us es yo'if. If yo'if means those that are weary and those that are exhausted, but a Rebbe has to have that ability that there should be a set time. That was one of the chidushim, one of the original insights, one of the great ideas of making a yeshiva. You know, really, a person has to learn constantly. A man should be constantly involved in learning Torah, unless he's busy with other things that take his time. He has to stop his learning, he's got to stop to daven, he has to stop to take care of his parnosa, whatever the person has to take care of, but otherwise he should be learning. So the question was, for instance, if you have a yeshiva where the seder starts at 9:30, so what does that mean, Seder starts at 9:30? If a person is busy and he's not able to learn, so he should be exempt at 9:30 also. If it takes him till 10 o'clock to do whatever he has to do, so he doesn't have to learn till 10 o'clock. If he's able to learn at 9 o'clock, so he should have to learn at 9 o'clock. What's the idea of 9:30? But one of the original insights of the yeshiva was, first of all, instead of having a base medrash where everybody learns what they want, they have a yeshiva where everyone's learning the same thing. We're focusing on the same topic. So we're able to discuss it, and everyone's in this. We're learning the same subject. That's number one. And number two, another idea is that there's a set time. That if you're not busy, you should be in Seder at 9 o'clock. If you need a break or you need to take care of something, do it before 9:30. If Seder's 9:30, that's when you got to be there. Lo'us es yo'ef dovar, to make a time for the one who's weary and exhausted and it's difficult, But he's got to have his time for learning. As Rashi says, likvo alehem itim, to make set times for the learning. Posakei. Hashem Elokim posach liyozen. Hashem Elokim has opened my ear for me. V'anochi lo morisi, and I didn't resist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yeshaya and asked us, Mi Eshlach, who should I send? Are you willing to be a Navi? And he didn't rebel, he accepted the mission. And a lot of times people accept a job, and then they start doing it, it's not so easy. Ochar lo nisugosi. But Yeshaya continues, I didn't retreat to the rear. I didn't turn around. I accepted the mission, and there's no turning back. Ochar lo nisugosi. I didn't turn back. I came to the people. I talked to them. And people don't like to hear mussar. They don't like to hear rebuke, necessarily. And nowadays, Baruch Hashem, a lot of people do like to hear. But Yeshaya had an extra difficulty. It wasn't just that he told people they have to do tshuva. If they do tshuva, things will get better. It was a pretty negative message. The people were in Eretz Yisrael. They had a Beis HaMikdash. They had a king. Things were good. Yeshaya was telling them, now we're already in the chapters of consolation, the Nechama. But the earlier Musar of Yeshaya, like so many other Nevi'im, was if you don't do tshuva, there's going to be a churban. There's going to be a destruction. And people felt that if anything, he's demoralizing the masses. How can you go ahead and tell the populace they're going to lose the war and the enemy's going to come in? Gevi nosati lamakim. And Yeshaya says, I submitted my body to those who would smite me. They're ready to hit me and beat me up. And I gave my back. I was ready to accept it. And not only did I give my back, but I faced the people. Ulechoyai lemortim. I gave my cheeks to those who would pull out my hair from my beard, from my head. I faced them. Even though there it could be even more painful. But I looked directly at them, and I told them the word of Hashem. Panai lo histarti. This is the way the Malbim explains them, the continuum of the psukim. Panai lo histarti. I didn't hide my face. Miklimos. From the humiliation, varok, and the spit. That they look at Yeshaya, and then humiliate him and spit at him. And I didn't even bother covering my face to protect myself. I accepted it because I had to say the word of Hashem. The truth is, we don't find clearly in Yeshaya where this happened. It could be he's saying that he accepted the mission, he was prepared for this. He was prepared to undergo all of this. Or perhaps it happened in the earlier times, perhaps under the wicked king Ochaz, when he started saying Nevuah. But this is what Yeshaya was prepared to go through. V'Hashem Elokim Yazor Li, and Hashem will help me. Al Kein Lo Nichlomti, and therefore I was not humiliated. Either nobody tried humiliating him, or it just bounced right off him. Because he knew that Hashem was helping him, he really had no effect on him what others would do. Al kein samti fonai kachalomish, I made my face as hard as a rock, as a flint. Vo'eda ki lo evosh, and I knew that I wouldn't be ashamed. Busha's internal. A person on his own feels busha. You are hoping something would work out, you put an effort and you feel you're not successful, that causes shame. Kalima is what others, the scorn and the humiliation that others heap on a person. But when Hashem is with me, I knew the mission would be successful. I would do what I had to do. Vo'eda kilo evosha, I knew that I wouldn't be ashamed. Korov matstiki. My champion, the one who will vindicate me and prove me correct, is close. Mi Yoriviti. Who is the one that would contend with me and quarrel? Namdu Yachad. Let's stand together and go to court. A reeve is an argument where people have differing opinions and they all have different arguments why they are correct. For that you go to a judge. Yeshaya says, I know that I'm correct in what I'm doing. Mibal Mishpati. Then there's somebody who's already won the court case. And he has the letter from Bezdin that he won. He has a right to collect. Mibal Mishpati. Who's the one of my Mishpat that I had a court case against? And he feels he's correct. He's got the winning decision from the court. Iga Shaila, let him come to me. I know there is no such person. Hein Hashem Elokim Yazar Li. Indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me. Hashem Elokim Yazar Li will help me. Mihu Yarshieni. Who is the one that Yarshieni will prove me to be the Rasha, the guilty? Hein Kulam Kabeged Yivlu. They'll all wear out like a garment. Osh Yochlein. A moth will devour them. And again, the Malvim explains the beauty in these two phrases. A garment wears out from too much use. You wear it again and again and again, it wears out. Somebody who has a reeve, who has the argument, miyoriv iti, the one who wants to quarrel with Yeshaya, and he argues why Yeshaya shouldn't say it, and why he couldn't say it, and why not, don't say it now, and don't say it here, and he's arguing. That person, hein kulam, those people, kabeged yivlu. They're going to be worn out like a garment. All of their talk and arguments will wear them out like a garment. Then there are those garments that are just sitting in the closet and they're not touched. And if they're not preserved in the right type of environment, you don't have the mothballs or whatever to keep them secure. If they sit and they sit, eventually it's possible that moths get to it and oshio claim. They're devoured by the moth. That's the person who doesn't have a reeve, who might feel he's the mishpat, he's correct, and he's not arguing with Yeshaya. But those that are don't accept the words of Yeshaya and are against it, Oshio claim, they'll be devoured by a moth. Yeshaya is saying the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's for the people to accept. Mi bochem yirei Hashem. And now Yeshaya continues his message. Mi bochem yirei Hashem. Who among you fears Hashem? Shamea b'kol avdo, who listens to the voice of his servant. His servant meaning the Nevi'im. Who's the one who's listening to Yeshaya himself? Who's the one who fears Hashem and is tuned in to the words of the Nevi'im? Asher halach hasheichim. He may have walked in the darkness. And it might have been such a darkness. Sometimes it can be dark and there's no light. But something like the moon can reflect light from elsewhere. There can be some type of shining from a light that's elsewhere. But this person can be going chashechem in the dark. They know galo. And he has no light at all. It's totally dark. But if he fears Hashem, if he listens to the words of the Nevi'im, Yivtach b'shem Hashem. Let him trust in the name of Hashem, v'yisha ein be'lo kov. And then he can rely on his God, and he can rely on Hashem to help him. The Gemara again brings this down to a practical lesson for our day-to-day living. The Gemara says the same Amida Gemara we quoted earlier. On Vavam and Beis and Brachos. Amar Ravin Bar Avada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kol HaRogel Ovel Leveis HaKnesses. Anyone who's accustomed to come to Shul. V'lo Bo Yom Echad. And one day he didn't come. He's a regular. One day he decided to take off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiel Bo. Hashem inquires about him. Where is he? Now once the attention is focused, where is he? That's not a good question you want to hear. Because there are malochim, the Bezdin Shalmala, whatever is the accusing, the angels whose role is to accuse, and the defender. But once it already becomes an issue, Where is he? So Hashem is going to ask where he is. Asher holach shenemar, mi bochem yirei Hashem. Who is the one amongst you who fears Hashem? Shamea b'kol avdo, who listens to the voice of his servant. And the Marsha says, who is the servant of Hashem? The servant of Hashem is the one, the Baal Tefillah, the one who davens, the one who's davening for the Amud, the Shliach Tzibur. Shomea b'kol avdo. Asher holach hasheichim, that he went in the dark. Ve'ein nogalo, and there's no light. Meaning, he didn't show up at Minyan. He didn't hear what the Chazan's saying. Asher holach hasheichim, he went in the darkness. He missed out on his tefillah in the Minyan. But im l'dvar mitzvah halach, if he went for a dvar mitzvah, he went for a mitzvah, so true, he missed out on his davening. But vein, at least it's no galo, there's an illumination. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. Ner mitzvah. The fact is that he had a good reason for going. He went for a dvar mitzvah, so he has a noga, a shining, an illumination. Im l'dvar mitzvah halach no galo, v'im l'dvar harshus halach. But if he went for his own reason, if he went l'dvar harshus, ain't no galo. So then he has no light. Yivtach b'shem Hashem, because he should have put his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Hashem, and come to Minyan. Now you might wonder, okay, the person wasn't going for what we would consider a regular mitzvah, but he was going to work. He was going to make a parnasa. And that's also a mitzvah, to feed the family. But if it's that kind of mitzvah, the pasuk continues, Yivtach b'shem Hashem. This is the way the Marsha explains it. If he was going to make money, so he should have gone to Midian anyways and worked out the parnasa a different time. Yivtach b'shem Hashem, he should have put his trust in Hashem. The Ben Yoda learns that Shomea b'kol avdo, what does it mean? Who's the one who fears Hashem? Who listens to Hashem's servant? The avdo is referring to David HaMelech. David, who wrote Tehillim, he's considered to be the Eved Hashem. And he points out an interesting thing, that we don't find anywhere in the Torah the inyan of a Beis HaKnesses. You know, it's interesting. It's such a focal point of our lives. Every day to come to shul, Shachas, Mincha, Marav, you don't find it in the Torah. In Tehillim you find it. Beveis Elokim Nahalech Berogesh. In the house of Hashem we have to walk Berogesh with an excitement, with a trepidation, with a certain awe that we're in the house of Hashem. Vanibrov Chastecha Avo Beisecha, with the kindness of Hashem we're coming to Hashem's house. In the Arizal, the Ben Yoyada brings down, the Arizal says this is referring to a Beis HaKnesses. And he says a person should be aroused and he should give a shudder, a little tremble when he walks into shul. Right. So, mi bochem yirei Hashem, who's the one amongst you who fears Hashem? Shomea b'kol avdo. And he's taken that lesson from Tehillim, that you got to come to a Beis HaKnesses. And then all of a sudden he doesn't come. Asher holach hasheichim. He went in the dark. He's not here. Ve'ein no galo. And if there's no light, there's no mitzvah that he was involved in. Yivtach b'shem Hashem. He should have put his bitachon in the name of Hashem. And if he would put his trust in the name of Hashem, v'yisha'ein, he would find that he's actually able to rely, to lean on the actual support of Be'lokov, his God. He'll feel that Hashem is with him. He'll feel the Hashkocha Pratis. The Malbim says, imagine if you have two people in the desert, and it's dark, pitch black, and there's no one around. And the two people are each in their place in the desert. One of them lights a fire, and he's trying to warm himself, trying to get a little light, but he's scared. And he's sitting over the twigs and over the charcoal, and he's trying to get the fire, and he's bending over. It's not burning well. His face itself gets covered with, he gets that smoke smell and that smoke look of soot hanging over this fire. And even with all that, he can't sleep. He's just too nervous. Who knows what kind of wild animals are there. And the other one who's in the desert in the dark figures, this is where he is. There's nothing he can do. If the wild animals come over, what can he do? Oh, just trust in Hashem. And then he lies down, he's able to sleep. He says, who's the one, mi bochem yirei Hashem, who hears the words of a Novi, who might be going in the dark with his no light, but he puts his trust in Hashem and he can lie down and feel supported with his God. But hein kulchem, all of you, don't put your trust in Hashem. Kod cheyesh, you're like those who are igniting the fire. Ma'azrei zikos, you surround, you kindle the fire by surrounding the wood with sparks, and you try lighting it from all sides where the fire will catch. L'chu b'ur eshchem, those that don't want to turn to Hashem and they just want to do it on their own, go with the fire, the Ur Eshchem, the fire that you've made, uvizikos piartem, and with the sparks that you've lit. Miyodi hoisazos lachem. I'm telling you, it's coming from my hand that'll be unsuccessful, that a person will just scorch himself and trying to work without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'mat seva. And then in sadness, Tishkovun, they'll lie down, they'll die in sorrow. They won't have the Yeshua, they won't have the salvation of those who are Mibachem Yirei Hashem, those who fear Hashem and listen to the words of the Nevi'im.